President Bush had landed at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, escorted by fighter aircraft. He called Cheney on a secure landline. On the basis of Frank Miller's recommendations, Cheney pressed the president to proceed to a bunker, either Strategic Command headquarters in Omaha or NORAD in Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado. The press corps on board were told not to report where they were. Before lifting off again, Bush taped a statement to be broadcast only after he was airborne. "Make no mistake," he said. "The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended." At this point, those responsible hardly seemed cowardly. Bush seemed tentative. "Roger Cressy told me that Mike Fenzel was looking for me. I picked up the open line to the Presidential Emergency Operations Center, only to find that once again, it was a dial tone. When I punched the PIOC button, the person answering the line grunted and passed the phone to Major Fenzel. "Who is the asshole answering the phone for you, Mike?" I asked. "That would be the Vice President, Dick. And he'd like you to come over." Frank Miller again took over the chair of the video conference, becoming, as I was most of the day, the nation's crisis manager. I had walked from the Situation Room in the West Wing through the residence to the East Wing many times before, flashing my badge at the many guard posts along the way. Now, as I walked through the West Wing and the residence, there was no one there. The guards had been ordered by Brian Stafford, the director of Secret Service, to assume a perimeter a block outside the White House fence. They had cordoned off streets and set up machine guns. Inside the fence, the White House itself was eerily empty. In the quiet of that walk, I caught my breath for the first time that day. This was the big Al-Qaeda attack we had warned was coming, and it was bigger than almost anything we had imagined, short of a nuclear weapon. I kept hearing in my mind Marlon Brando's whispered words from the movie Apocalypse Now. "The horror. The horror." Now, we would finally bomb the camps, probably invade Afghanistan. Of course, by now, the camps were probably as empty as the White House. We would begin a long fight against Al-Qaeda with no holds barred. But it was too late. They had proven the superpower was vulnerable, that they were smarter. They had killed thousands. The recriminations would flow like water from a fire hose. There was no time for thinking like that. Not now. We had to move fast. Other attacks were probably in the works and had to be stopped. The country was in shock. The government had largely fled Washington. The nation needed reassurance. We needed to find our dead. As I made it to the bottom of the stairs in the East Wing, I turned the corner and found a machine gun in my face. Cheney's security detail had set up outside the vault doors with body armor, shotguns, and MP5 machine guns. Although they knew me, they were not about to open the vault door. "Hey guys, it's me. The Veep called me over here. At least call inside and let him know I'm here." While they did that, they patted me down. Condi Rice's deputy, Steve Hadley, came to the vault door to identify me and escort me in. Inside the vault, there were more MP5s and shotguns in the narrow corridor lined with bunk beds. In the Presidential Emergency Operations Center, the cast was decidedly more political. In addition to the Vice President and Condi Rice, there was the Vice President's wife, Lynn, his political advisor, Mary Matlin, his security advisor, Scooter Libby, Deputy White House Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, and White House Communications Director, Karen Hughes. The monitors were simultaneously blaring the coverage from 5 TV networks. On one screen, I could see the Situation Room. I grabbed Mike Fenzel. "How's it going over here?" I asked. "It's fine," Fenzel whispered. "But I can't hear the crisis conference because Mrs. Cheney keeps turning down the volume on you so she can hear CNN. And the Vice President keeps hanging up the open line to you."